Father in heaven, this morning, would you open up your words to our hearts and our minds that we would know you more, that we would love you more deeply, and that you would drive us to deeper worship. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. My life could have turned out much differently. I don't know if you know this about me, but when I was younger, I wanted to be a pilot. I really wanted to fly. And as I grew up, I studied everything about flying. I even started taking some lessons, and I was part of the Civil Air Patrol, so I got to actually get up and fly a plane. It was awesome. And eventually, I wanted to join the Air Force. And I had it all planned out. I knew what plane I wanted to fly. And if they didn't give me that one, I wanted to fly this one. I mean, I had it all figured out. And then the other thing was, I was a big World War II buff. And I loved all the stories. I knew all the battles. And I studied all of the tactics and all of the things. And you know, if we hadn't won this battle, we might have lost the war. And I grew up watching all the movies, you know, Battle of the Bulge and Midway and A Bridge Too Far. And as I grew older, the other movies came out, like Top Gun and Pearl Harbor. And as thrilling as they were, every once in a while, I'd get to a point in the movie and I would shout, "That's ridiculous! It didn't happen that way! That didn't even, they didn't fly through the city 20 feet off the ground. That's crazy!" And especially in Top Gun, it's like, that's supposed to be a Soviet airplane, but clearly it's an American F-5. Come on! You know? And the thing is, I was right. Like, how did I know? Because I studied it. I knew it inside and out. Or it's kind of like banking. Oh, there's a connection. All throughout college, I worked in banking, and I was a teller. And they teach you in banking that instead of studying counterfeit money, you spend your time studying the real thing. And that you actually get so intimate and you get so close and understand real money that you get to the point where you could spot a counterfeit a mile away. And this is central to the theme of Paul's letter to the Colossians. See, like the Galatians last week, this week, what Paul is dealing with in Colossae are these false teachers that were coming in, and they were teaching vain theology. They were teaching superstition, and they were leading people away from the gospel hope. And Paul had never visited Colossae, but he had heard about their faithfulness and the things that they were struggling with. And he writes to them, exhorting them, encouraging them to get to know God better. I read an article that came out this week about doing theology well. And for many in the church today, theology is, at best, considered a holy hobby for Christian geeks, which I kind of consider myself one. And parts of the church today, though, there's, you know, deep theological study is actually kind of frowned upon. I mean, there are these mantras like no creed but Christ or doctrine divides. The irony is this. If you believe anything concrete about God or about Jesus, you're doing theology. But see, more important than that, the problems in Galatia and Colossae are not simply confined to the days of the New Testament. Because legalism and vain philosophies and superstitions are very reflective of what's going on in our society, but not just our society, in our church today. And so the words that Paul writes, and they're also reflected in the gospel, are as important today as they were back then. Paul's opening prayer for the Colossians is passionate and it's deep. He prays for them to have strength, to have strength in God's power, and to have the ability to endure everything with patience. But the bedrock of that strength, power, and endurance comes through a deep understanding of who God is. And Paul's response in this letter and in our passage is for them to become so familiar with Christ, to know God so intimately that they could spot a counterfeit from a mile away. So if you would, please take out your scripture inserts, because I'm going to refer to a bunch of what we've read this morning. Before we look at the Colossians, I want to take a second and look at the gospel. See, here a lawyer comes before Jesus and he poses a question about the law. Now, when I say lawyer, don't think of like Dan Newland or John Morgan or, you know, one of those guys. That's not what we're talking about. This was somebody who was a specialist in the Jewish law, knows it inside and out. And he tests Jesus, and Jesus answers his question with a question. Did you catch that? And he says, well, what does the law say? Well, apparently, this guy's been paying attention, because Jesus has given this formula already. And he responds, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, with quite a bit of irony, well, good. Good job. Go do it. Now, we've seen this formula before. It actually appears in each one of the Gospels, save John. And we know that love is the central focus of the Ten Commandments. And it all boils down to loving God and loving our neighbor. And we also probably understand that loving God with our heart, soul, and strength probably means that there should be no other objects of our affection that compete with God. No idols. We all clear? No idols. But Jesus also insists that the greatest commandment includes loving God with all our mind. So what does it look like to love God with all our minds? It's being so passionate about something or someone that you want to know every possible detail. It's my love of flying. It's my love of World War II history and all that nostalgia. It might be another's love for sports and how many RBIs Jackie Robinson. Okay. I don't even know what an RBI is. But it's like over 700, you know? But there are people out there that know Jackie Robinson's entire career. Or maybe you just love your children or your grandchildren so deeply that you want to know every detail about their life. You got to, like, if your kids aren't calling you on a weekly, if not daily basis, telling you what your grandkids did, you're like going crazy, right? We invest our lives in the pursuit of understanding of those things we deeply love. So now imagine if I started talking to you about my love for my wife, and I tell you, you know, some of the things that I love about her. I love the fact that she comes from Denmark and that she has this long, curly red hair. I love her long, curly red hair. And her immense love for pork. And the fact that she's so tall. I mean, it doesn't bother me that she's so tall that I literally look up to her every day. I love that about her. Not only would you look at me like I'm crazy, But there's a good chance, and I guarantee that she's not going to appreciate that very much. Because loving God with all of our minds means plumbing the depths of all that we can know about God. We do this through prayerfully and systematically studying Scripture. We come to Scripture with humility and wonder and a desire to know truth, capital T. And this in turn informs how we speak about God. We say the right things. We don't make up stories about God that aren't real. My wife is not Danish. Or that's what you are from Denmark. No, that's not what you are from Denmark. It is? Okay. See, I don't even know. Can we ever completely know God? No. Not at all. Because God is infinite. But here's the thing. He has graciously revealed so much about Himself to us through Scripture that we can spend every day of our lives studying about Him and never get to the bottom. Theologians call this His divine condescension. God loved us so much that He condescended to reveal Himself to us in ways that we can understand. He does that through language and through story and through His actions. And we return that love by taking advantage of that and learning about Him everything we can. And the things that He's revealed to us are enough. The Apostle Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter. He says, His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness. Listen, through the knowledge of Him who called us. And by His own glory and goodness. This mysterious God has made Himself known to us. And loving God with our minds is to be always pursuing a deeper relationship with Him through understanding. And this is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He said that he prayed that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then he prays that they may grow in the knowledge of God. And what's amazing is the simple fact that we can even know God. That is grace. That the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God has been laid out for us. That by His love, we are made able to learn of Him. Now, according to Paul, though, this knowledge, it serves an important purpose beyond just filling our heads with facts. It's Paul's principal way to guard against false teaching. False teachers were mixing Greek philosophy and superstition with Christianity, and they were leading people astray. And like my illustration about money, Paul wanted them to become so familiar with God, so familiar with the gospel and Christ, that they could spot counterfeit from a mile away. Paul also prayed for them to know His will and what pleases God. Okay, I confess, I know I'm pretty dense, but it's taken me almost 20 years to really figure out what makes my wife happy. But here's the thing. I want to know that. She's like, no, you still haven't even got it. The thing is, I want to know that. I want to know what speaks to her so that I may please her. And I want to please her because I love her. And it's the same with God. I mean, as we grow in our knowledge of God, the more we begin to understand what pleases Him and what doesn't. And we have the opportunity to return His love that He's shown us. We return that by obeying His will for our lives. Learning about God stokes the fires of our worship. And as we become more amazed by His grace, as we grow in our love and the depth of our knowledge of Him, our hearts are made more and more ready to worship. I mean, we come before this table with a deeper understanding of what He's done for us on the cross. We fall to our knees more quickly as we come to know Him. For some of us, that's metaphorical. That's okay. Knowledge of God helps us to remain grounded when suffering and trials come. I mean, as we read through His story, His faithfulness shines through on every page. He is faithful, even though His people are not, through thick and thin. God is there. When trials come, and they will come, we will either have a foundation that is sure, that is set on the knowledge of who God is, or we won't. Knowledge of God enables us to weather the storms of life. And lastly, a deep understanding of God and a deep knowledge of what He's doing in our lives, in our community, in our church, it helps us to fulfill our mission to know Christ and to make Him known. We've talked a lot about making Christ known. It's the Church of the Holy Spirit being a light on the hill in this community. It's us learning how to engage others, our neighbors, the people that, you know, if we go out to eat, maybe we'll engage our servers. It's learning how to invest ourselves in the lives of others. But how are we doing on our knowing Christ? I mean, what is the message that we are telling? That's only drawn from what we know and how intimate we are with Him and His story. What's the message that we are telling about Christ? Does what we say about God come from the depths of understanding? And what might God be calling us to do to draw deeper, to love God with all our minds and our neighbors as ourselves? This is where I give a quick plug about Sunday Bible study at 9:30 between the services. This is where you can come early. We've been going through, lately we've been going through some videos by the Bible Project, and we just sit and discuss. And today's theme was on the law. And we talked about the richness of the law and how important it is to us. And are we supposed to follow the law, or what does it mean to us? This is what we're doing in between services at 9:30. And I would encourage you to come. But what are the other opportunities? You know, we have so many distractions in this world. We have so many things that keep us, that are in competition with our love of God. What can we do as a family or within our own families to draw deeper into knowledge of God? Several years ago, Christy asked me a question. It was pretty much out of the blue. And she said to me, what do you think is the biggest need of the church? The church, capital C, broader church. And without even really thinking of it, I just said teaching. And I had to stop and think about it. I'm like, huh. But the thing is, like I said, there's so many distractions in this world, and there's so many things that draw us away from knowing God. There's so many things that would compete. And it seems, well, it's almost no excuse. We don't really have an excuse because the Word is laid out before us and we're called to delve into it. But here's the thing. Knowledge just for knowledge's sake, and this is the one caveat that I want to give. It's not about knowledge that puffs up or makes us arrogant. I've seen that. Knowledge without grace and mercy attached to it it just does more harm than good. What I'm talking about, what we need, is knowledge that drives us to worship and protects us from the deceits of the evil one. We need knowledge that drives us to repentance and a deeper love and worship of God. This is my prayer. This is my prayer for Holy Spirit Church. It's one of my prayers, anyway. That we would grow in our excitement. That we would anticipate when we come before the Lord, when we come before a scripture, whether here, in a study, at home, whether you're sitting on your couch reading your Bible, that we come before God anticipating learning something new that enlivens our hearts and draws us closer to Him. I pray that our love and passion for Him drives a desire within us to know all that we can about God's glory and goodness. And in doing that, we'll have deeper love and a greater appreciation for who He is, what He has done, and what He continues to do in our lives and in our church. Amen.